Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 23rd, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this week's Parsha is Parshat Yitro, and I'm handing out a source sheet, double-sided source sheet for everyone.
I'll get it.
And
Marilyn, I'll save you the trip this time.
We are going to look at a few psukim in chapter 18 about Yitro. The parsha is named for Yitro, and this is the beginning of the parsha. Okay, so here we go. The psukim say, "Vayishma Yitro Chohen Midyan Chotein Moshe." Et kol asher asah Elokim leMoshe uli Yisrael laAmo, ki otzi Hashem et Yisrael miMitzrayim. Now Yitro, the priest of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moshe and for Israel, his people, how that Hashem had brought Israel out of Egypt. Vayikach Yitro chotein Moshe tzipora eshet Moshe achar shiluchaha. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, received Tzipora's wife after he had sent her away. And her two sons, the name of one is Gershom, for Moses said, I have lived as a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, My father's God was my help and delivered me from Paro. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, came with his sons, and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. So this seems at first like a pretty straightforward set of psukim, nothing terribly shocking or surprising in here. But nonetheless, the Ralbag asks an interesting question. The Ralbag, who we've studied before, we have Ellen Bushin, who's joining us from Efrat. That's nice. Hi, Ellen. So we've studied the Ralbag before. He lived from 1288 to 1344 in Provence. And he asks a very interesting question. The question is paragraph number one on page one. Amar shekvar shama Yitro kol asher asa Elokim leMoshe liYisrael amo. Yitro had already heard everything that God had done for the Jewish people. Manif laot kasher hotzi et Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. He heard all the wonders that God had done for the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. Now the Ralbag doesn't. Let's just understand his question. What's the Ralbag's question? Right, exactly. Why does the Torah tell us here that Yitro heard of everything at this stage, at this juncture of the story? He had already heard about it when they left Mitzrayim. Why is the Torah repeating itself? It seems redundant, is the Ralbag's question. What the Ralbag does not do is tell us how he knows that Yitro had heard about everything already.
But he's in Midian. Mitzrayim is Mitzrayim.
So that's right. So how do we know that Yitro had heard about everything already? That he does not deal with. Anyone want to venture an answer to that question? That's not what we're going to deal with, but I think it's an interesting point nonetheless.
Say the question again.
That's not the question. Let's focus on my question. My question is this. The Ralbag says that this pasuk is redundant. Yitro would have already heard of what God did for Bnei Yisrael when they first left Egypt. Why is the Torah telling us this now? This is redundant.
It was related to him, so he's...
Didn't he send his wife and children away?
The question again. Why? How does the Ralbag know that Yitro had already heard this?
It says so in the passage.
Where?
It says it. This is the song.
Exactly. Thank you. Right? In Shirat Hayam, in Az Yashir. It says everybody heard. Everybody heard what happened, and they were scared. Everyone was scared about B'nai Yisrael. Right?
Not everybody was there in Shirat Hayam.
Correct. And nonetheless, it says... It says that it says all the nations of it says all the nations, all the surrounding nations heard. It doesn't say it explicitly. You are correct, but that's the Ralbag's assumption, and I think that you are right, Doc. That the Ralbag is basing his assumption on the Shirat Hayam. Okay, that's not our main point, but I just wanted to mention it. So now we have to. Now the Ralbag has to answer his question, which is why is the Torah telling us something that we know already, right? According to the Ralbag, we know it already. We know that Yitro has already heard about the events of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Why is the Torah telling us again? And the Ralbag goes through a fascinating set of points here. He says as follows. This is paragraph number 2. V'hine shama. He heard, lefizeh haperush, makat b'chorot. What did Yitro hear? He heard about makat b'chorot, the last of the makot. Umasha pasach Hashem yitbale al batei b'nei Yisrael luvilti heyot sham negef lemashchit, that God passed over the homes of the Jewish people and that they were not harmed by the angel of death. Umasha hishilum hamitzrim b'tzeitam klei kesef uklei zahav. And that the Egyptians, quote unquote, lent to the Jewish people their gold and their silver items, this usmalot and their clothing, kinatan Hashem itlechein ha'am ve'enei Mitzrayim, because God caused the Mitzrim to see the Jewish people with favor. Ki elu haniflaot asah Hashem itlech kasher hotziyam me'eretz Mitzrayim. That is what happened when the Jews were leaving. Meaning, look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe et Kol Asher Asa Lukin LeMoshe LeYisrael LeAmo." When? Ki Hotzi Hashem et Yisrael MiMitzrayim. The Ralbag is reading the pasukim very carefully. What did the Ralbag know, according to the Yitro? What did Yitro know, according to the Ralbag? Only the end of the story. Makat Bechorot, Pesach.
And
Klei Kesef and Klei Zahav. And presumably Kriyat Yam Suf too. Yes, correct.
When did Moshe marry?
That was earlier.
How early?
Not sure. Okay. So how? Now the Ralbag goes on. Hold on, Shula, hold on 1 second. Now the Ralbag goes on. Paragraph number 3. This is where the Ralbag gets really fascinating and very, very modern and open. He says, "Ki yidmesh shelo haya nachon be'inav hadavar." So the Yitro hears all this, and he doesn't like it. We'll see. Good question. Shelo haya nachon be'inav hadavar hazeh. Ki lo yihiyez ze miyosher b'chok Hashem mitbale, ki shelo yivadeh bo yoter mizeh hashiur. V'lazeh shav Moshe. Yitro sees that these people are punished. And he doesn't understand why. He thinks that something is out of proportion. Kilo yelo ze miyosher b'chok Hashem yitale kishelo yivadabo yoter mizeh hashiur v'lazeh shav Moshe l'saper liyitro et kol hamakot shevi Hashem yitale al paro. So Moshe comes back to tell Yitro the whole story.
Justify the
all of the makot, right? The al Mitzrayim b'hadraga. And the stages, and now what we're going to see is the Ralbag is going to have a very interesting explanation of the stages of the plagues and the Exodus. Vet kol hatila'a asher matzatem baderech, and all of the difficulty that the Jews had along the way, me redifat paro v'chelo acharehem, including Paro and his henchmen, his army, chasing after them, u'milchamat Amalek, and the war with Amalek, V'az hoda Yitro l'Hashem mitaleh u'barech oto. Then Yitro blessed God and understood everything. V'ra'a ki b'yosher hevi Hashem mitaleh al ha-mitzrim ma shehevi meharaot. And then he understood that what God did was fair. And we don't know. We don't know yet what, we don't understand exactly the details of what Moshe told Yitro, but this is the beginning of the answer. Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe et kol asher asa lachim Moshe liYisrael ki otzi otam. Moshe is coming back to tell him the rest of the story. Paragraph 4.
When does he tell him this? He's busy leaving
when he,
Mitzrayim.
No, he goes to him.
Zipporah,
he goes
maybe.
To them. These are the Pesukim. He goes back to Moshe.
He goes back to Yitro.
No, Yitro goes back to Moshe. Vayavo Yitro, Chotein Moshe, Vanavishto, El Moshe, El Hamidbar, verse 5. Right. Verse 5. Okay. Look up now paragraph number 4 on the bottom of page 1. Vayisaper Moshe. Lichotno et kol asher asa Hashem leparo leMitzrayim al odot Yisrael et kol hatila asher mitzatam b'derech v'atzilem Hashem, that God saved them. Vayichad Yitro et kol hatova asher asa Hashem liYisrael asher hitzilom yad Mitzrayim. These are the psukim that come later. Now after Moshe, these are the next set of psukim. Now that Moshe, the first set of psukim I gave you were 1 through 5. Yitro only heard what had happened when they left. Paragraph number 4, I didn't label it, I apologize. Paragraph number 4 are psukim 8 through 12. Right? On the bottom of page 1, it's labeled number 4. Those are psukim 8 through 12. Vayisaper Moshe lechotno et kol asher. Et kol asher. Right? Everything. Right? Al odot Yisrael et kol hatilaa asher mazatam baderech v'yatzleim Hashem, all the troubles they found and God saved them. Vayichad, and this is when Yitro recognizes it. Vayichad Yitro et kol hatova asher asa Hashem liYisrael asher hitzilom Mitzrayim, that God saved them from the Egyptian hands. Vayomer Yitro baruch Hashem asher hitzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim miyad Paro asher hitzil etami tachad yad Mitzrayim atayadati. Now I know. Now I get it. God did this because of what the Egyptians did to them.
I still don't understand the timeline. Moses is busy leaving Egypt. When
they're already out of Egypt.
Okay, then when does he go to Yitro?
He doesn't. Yitro goes
Yitro
to him. That's the end of Pasuk 5.
Time, then he comes back the second time?
So
the first time he goes there, he's running away from the Egyptians. That's a long time ago. So now he goes back to Egypt. He takes the Jews out of Egypt. Right. And we pick it up in chapter 18. Verse 1 on top of the page. Yitro hears everything, some of everything. Verse 5.
When did he hear this? That's what I'm asking you.
In the timeline, after they left Egypt.
So did Yitro come to him, or did he hear
it? It says in Pasuk 5, Vayavo Yitro Chotein Moshe Uvanav Ishto El Moshe. Yitro goes to Moshe.
So where did he hear?
Someone must have come to tell him in Midian.
That's what I'm asking.
Where he was. Okay? And then... But he's not satisfied. He doesn't think it's fair. He thinks God acted in an unfair way. And then Moshe comes and then he hears the rest from Moshe. Okay, now let's see what the Rabbag is talking about. Okay, because the Rabbag makes a very interesting interesting point here. Okay, source number 5. Give me 1 second, please. Okay. Source number 5. Here, this is from an earlier section of the Ralbag. But he goes through the whole process of what was going on in Egypt.
The sequence of events.
Here we go. Hatoelet hasheni hu lohodia hahadraga asher nahag ba Hashem yitale imparo kasher ratza sheyishlach Yisrael. The point here, says the Rabbag, is to understand the stages that God used in his dealings with Paro when he tried to get the Jews free. V'zeh ki tchilat tzivah sheyasu lefanav mofet bilti mitza'er otoklal. God first tells Moshe to do a miracle before Paro that will not hurt him at all. That is when Moshe turns his staff into a snake. Then he says, well, why don't you, if that doesn't work, now do a miracle that hurts them a little bit. What is that? We're going to turn the blood, the water to blood. It was hard for them to find water, but they were able to find water. But it wasn't so easy, but they had.
It's pretty.
Then comes something a little bit more damaging, the frogs. It was annoying, the frogs. Maybe they couldn't sleep, it was too loud. But it didn't affect them bodily. But then come the kinim.
Yeah,
right? And so it's getting worse. Now, the truth is, it's very interesting to hear the Ralbag describe, it's not so bad that your water source turns to blood.
No, that's when.
And it's not so bad that you're overrun with frogs.
That's not so bad.
But some people say that the frogs really were a problem. They got into their bodies and all that type of thing.
Right, so the Ralbag, that's a very good point. The Ralbag is very much a rationalist, and the Ralbag is very much reading the pshat of the psukim. Right, he is not reading those midrashim into the psukim. You are absolutely right. That's a very important point to make about the Rabbah. Then come the kinim kihem hayu olim b'saram toch levushehem v'yu oktsim otam kemin hakakinim. They would bite them v'laze hevi aleihem acharze makatakinim v'nei timse she kvar higiu b'tchila leparo elu hamusarim mehashem yitaleh biyoter kal she'efshar. So first, God started off in the easiest way possible.
Dam is more severe because this is a question of surviving. They couldn't drink. Here it's annoying. It's
right, so we have to. That's a very important point to understand how the Ralbag understands Makat Dam. The Ralbag's understanding of Makat Dam is that there was water available. Only the Nile was turned to blood. But wells, water that they had in the fridge, right, whatever else they had, that was not right. There are midrashim that says all the water was blood. Mm-hmm. All the water was blood. There was no water anywhere. This is not the opinion of the Ralbag because it's not what it says in the Torah. The Torah does not say.
What does it say?
It says that the Nile, and it says also in some of the Kelim.
The Nile. It said that the water turned to blood.
The Nile turned to blood.
Just the Nile.
Yeah. Okay. But it's very important to understand the approach to parshanut of the person we're studying. And here his approach is, we're going to read the psukim, and we're going to try to develop our theory based on the psukim. Okay, so, yeah.
I've got one question. It's sort of like what you're talking about. And tell me if it's not, I'll hold it for later.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it when Moses turned his shaft to a snake that Pharaoh told his people to turn their staffs to snakes, and they did? What did he?
He was trying to prove that whatever powers you have, whatever God is helping you, I'm just as powerful.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems kind of crazy or whatever that they could turn.
That they could do it. That's an interesting question, right? And some of the commentaries talk about the existence of some sort of magic or witchcraft. That's a very interesting question. Correct. Okay, so basically Moshe is telling Yitro, look, you think it was unfair what God did? Paro was enslaving the Jews. Yeah. So first Moshe comes along and says, hey, let them free. Paro says no. He says, okay, I'll show you how strong I am. I'll turn my staff into a snake. That's not going to work? Okay, we'll start with your water. Then we're going to bring the frogs. Then we're going to bring the kinim. And he goes on and on. You see in the middle of the paragraph, v'zeshu hevia b'tchila ha'arov, Shaya mashchit ha mikne umizonotehem asher baitu v'sadeh. He brings the wild animals. V'yachakein osiv shenit lazikam zonotehem v'zeshekvar hevi dever kaved ma'od b'miknehem, sheyah heziku yoter chazak min ahezek shigir, right? Everything gets, and then the shchich, v'hu ashchin, sheyah poreach ha-babuot, ki ashchin shehu bazeh ha-toar hu mitza'er ma'od, your whole body is covered with boils, that's terrible. V'yachar zeh shav lahachbid ma'koteyem b'hadraga bazeh ha-sidur b'eino. V'zeh shekvar hevi tchila ha-barad, lashchit kol asher basadeh, she'avsha she'ashchit b'nei ha-barad. Then comes the hail, and it destroys whatever was left in the field. Limnoa me mitzimizonoteam. Now they really have no food. The acharkein hichpid aleim bevi haarbe haniflab bigvulam hashchit ma shenish arlahem min habarad vaeitzat someach lahem min hasadet kadesh ye adru mizonoteam bemuchlat. And then come the locusts, and that wipes out the everything
and
entirely.
All those things, didn't have a clue about it. I mean, it's impossible.
That's the Rob Boggs contention. Let's finish. That's a good point. Mashchit mashe nishar lehem in habarad v'aetz ha-tomeach v'achar ze hevi aleyem mashe yitzar gufam tzar nifla ela shelo yagiu mimenu ha-maviv v'achoshech. Then comes the darkness, which doesn't kill them, but it is she yitzar gufam tzar nifla. It's a physical problem because they. They can't do anything. It's completely dark. And that doesn't work. They couldn't, even if there was food, they couldn't get to it because it was dark. The last one was the worst of all. Okay, so the Rabag is answering his question. What, presumably Yitro had already heard about what was going on. Either from the Shirat Hayam or some other, not from the Shirat Hayam. The evidence is that the Shirat Hayam is that people heard what was going on, or Yitro had some visitor maybe who came and told him and said, "You can't believe what happened in Egypt. What's going on? The Jews are free. This the sea was split. There was what else did he add in that list? Makat Bechorot but the Jews survived, but the Egyptians didn't, and the Jews are leaving with all of the money and the clothing of the Egyptians." And Yitro said, "Why would God do that? Why would God do that?" Now, it's a little difficult to believe that Yitro did not know that Paro was enslaving the Egyptians, because I would think that when Moshe ran to him the first time, presumably they would have had some conversation, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing here? Why are you running away from Egypt?" He says, "Well, you know, I was born from a Jewish mother, but you put me in a little boat, and I floated down the river, and Paro's daughter saved me, and I was brought up in a palace, but my people are being enslaved, and I love your daughter. May I marry her?" Right? You would think that they would have some conversation like that, and Yitro would know. And maybe he did know, but maybe he didn't know the extent to of how bad it was. And so he somehow, according to the Rabag, feels that God's destruction of Egypt is too harsh. And then finally he meets up with Moshe again, and he hears in that set of psukim in verse 4 everything that happened, right? And what's clear for the Rabag is that Yitro did not really understand et kol hatila'a asher metzatam bederech, all of the troubles that the Jewish people had suffered. He may have not understood exactly what was going on in Egypt. Once he understood that, and once he understood this whole Hadraga, this whole staged process that God created to slowly try to convince, step by step, try to convince Paro to let the Jewish people free, then Yitro says, "Ah, now I understand why God did what he did, and why God is right."
But he wouldn't have given his daughter to just a poor, some kind of unknown, unimportant refugee. That running.
That's interesting. That's what he was. Moshe was not.
He thought that he saw a yichus already in Moshe. That's why he gave.
Well, he saved his daughter from the Bedouins.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. But he also saved.
He had seven daughters that he needed to get rid of.
Right. That's true. I think he's right that, you know, back in those days he had seven daughters. You got to take what you can get. Yes. Right.
And this is exactly how he applies Yitro. To understand behavior of Yitro, we have to remember that he was high priest of Midian. He got position also, let's put this one, close to spirituality. Now all those messages came to him, and how he, who is high priest of multiple gods, should react. It was absolutely normal reaction. Well, probably something true, but we know how many gods and how they relate to each other. This is a conflicting situation based on polytheism. Beliefs against monotheism.
Yeah.
For a person like Yitro, it's very normal to understand fight between gods. And this is actually a fundamental difference between polytheism and monotheism. Polytheism is fights between gods, monotheism fights between people.
Right.
No, it's true.
Right.
It's true.
Okay.
Well,
so
my point.
Right. Thank you. So I want to just close by making this interesting point, right? Which is Yitro. First of all, the what's interesting is it's two points to close. Yitro expresses his thanksgiving. There are two things that Yitro could have said. Yitro could have said, "Oh, I am so happy that God destroyed the Egyptians. After what Moshe told me, I'm so happy that God destroyed the Egyptians." But that's not what he says. Instead, back on paragraph 4, on the bottom of the first page, what does he say? Vayichad Yitro et kol ha-tova asher asah Hashem li-Yisrael asher yitzlo mi-Yamitrayim. He expressed it in a positive way. He didn't express joy in the destruction of the Egyptians. He expressed joy in the salvation of Israel.
That's what Rashi says. Nasab saro chidudim chidudim. He really was worried about himself. That
right. Okay. So that's one point. Meaning that. Right. Well. Paragraph 6 is the Ralbag making this point. So I wanted to show you in the psukim. Right. That in the psukim, Yitro expresses gratitude for the salvation, and it, meaning there's no, what's the word, Schadenfreude, right? There's no, that's the word, right? Schadenfreude, right? When you rejoice in someone else's
downfall,
right? You get some sort of sick sense of joy when someone else has some sorrows. That's not what Yitro did. Yitro, now, of course, the other side of the coin of the Jewish people being freed is that the Egyptians were conquered and killed, yes, but that's not what he expresses. He just expresses gratitude for being saved. And I think that's an important lesson in general, in things of, you know, when we think about when things happen to other people and we may get that sort of tinge of, oh, isn't that great? That's not the best midah. Right, that's not the best character trait. We should be more focused on our own, you know, ability to succeed, and not right according to some. Correct, right, exactly, right. And the other point is that Yitro jumped to conclusions. Right, what did Yitro do wrong here? He judged God before hearing the whole story. Right, according to the Ralbag, Yitro said, "How could God kill their firstborn and let the Jews take their silver and gold and have them killed in the sea?" But he didn't hear the whole story. And that's also a very important thing for us to remember, right? Which is to make sure that we shouldn't judge ever, right? But we should always make sure, before we may come to any sort of conclusions, that we hear the entire story. Yitro did not do that, and it required Moshe to give him a lesson, a little history lesson, as to what was really going on in Egypt, and then at least Yitro was able to admit his mistake and actually praise God after first sort of, quote, not accusing him, but sort of scratching his head and saying, how could God have done all this.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that Yitro was judgmental about.
No, that's correct. That is the Ralbog's interpretation.
It's just his fantasy.
It's the Ralbog's. Well, fantasy is a little too much, I think. It's the Ralbog's pshat. Okay. It's his understanding of the psukim. But you're right, it is his understanding, and other people read this episode completely differently. Correct. Yeah. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day.